red. It's awesome. Flash.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to another episode of Reddit Talks Clash. Today we have quite an insane episode. Some big news too, if it's even news. We will dive into all of that. But first, so we do have a guest host with us who is also a mod for the Clash of Clans subreddit. His name is Liam. You want to introduce yourself, Liam? Maybe say a few sentences about yourself?
Sure thing. Hello, everyone. My name's Liam, or more formally known as Vanessa Baxton. And glad to be here today.
I do have to tell you guys, the people in the audience, because I think it's so interesting. So it is 2 a.m. for me right now because Sam chose the time for this episode. And I wanted to be able to really express myself in my voice. So I drove down to work, and I'm sitting at my work right now. Maybe I shouldn't say this publicly, but I'm after hours, 2 a.m. in my office recording this episode. So it's pretty dedication to my craft, what can I say? Just to start us off, a quick big news thing. This isn't the main topic of our episode, but I do think it's important to mention the Supercell store is now globally available. 116 countries were just added in the last 24 hours, bringing the total amount to 168 countries. So I'm pretty sure that's every country that we can, except the ones that have sanctions or something else limiting the Supercell store, which is very exciting. We've been waiting for this for a very long time, so we finally got it.
Yeah, I mean, I did want to find a list of the countries that which didn't get it, but I couldn't. I asked Ninja if he had one, didn't have one. I assume you're right about it being countries under sanctions, but that's about 30-odd countries, which is quite a lot when you think about it.
Yep. Do you guys use the Supercell store?
Yeah, I bought 8 gold passes on it when they were still £4.49.
I personally don't. I'm free to play, but I'm glad to see other people enjoying it.
All right. Well, let's get into our crazy topic. Leading up to this episode, we didn't really have anything juicy to talk about, something to dedicate the episode to. But something crazy dropped 20 hours ago. I never thought I would ever talk about something like this. I thought this was a dead topic. But it seems like potentially maybe we could actually get the return of a global chat. Just hearing that, you are probably in denial right now. I was when I saw the headline. But let me give you the basics, and then we'll talk about what we think and how this is going to go. As you should already know, the Chinese version of the game, there is a separate Chinese server because they have more restrictive rules, I think, in the country. And so there's two Clash of Clans servers. You have the global server and then the Chinese server with all the Chinese players. And the Chinese server got a global chat feature. It's not the exact original global chat, but it is very close to the original. They just got a new feature, and a lot of people are speculating that this is a testing phase for a feature that we could potentially get in the global server. And how the feature works is it's all through a magic item. So you have a magic item which is called a magic horn, and that basically lets you send one message in a global chat room or something like that. Essentially, you need these magic items to be able to say any type of message, and the Chinese server got all of that 20 hours ago, which has been blowing up on the subreddit. People think this could eventually lead to global chat, but I'm really curious to what you have to say about this, Sam. What do you think?
I mean, unexpected, I think, would be my first reaction. Like you said, when you said to me, oh, there's some Chinese global chat, I thought that was basically bollocks, because honestly, the Chinese server has been left behind in many updates recently. They didn't get Clan Capital for a while, they didn't get Town Hall 15 for a while. So by all accounts, you'd think they would be the last to get new features, but clearly Supercell has chosen the Chinese server as almost maybe a place slightly away from the public eye to test this new feature. And yeah, I mean, whenever someone said to me, oh, they should bring back global chat, as many in, you know, Twitter or Instagram or Reddit comments always said, you know, all the spam of bring back global chat, I was always basically opposed to it because they removed it for a pretty good reason. It was, you know, it was a hellhole, essentially, ungovernable, unmoderated hellhole. And I did hear that the police did have to get involved a few times because the message is in there. So straight away, my gut reaction was, God, do not bring Global back. But I don't hate this idea because I think, A, it limits the spam. So if you had to use this magic horn to send a message, then that limits the amounts you can just shove in a global chat. And it could give it more useful functions, such as, for example, you can use it as a recruiting ad. You can send one message in global to say, hey guys, join my clan, got some great stuff going on, there you go. But equally, I just can't tell how important or how actually useful it'll end up being, because you can't have proper conversations, and I don't know if I can immediately see a ton of value for sending a single message with a magic item. But the magic item is definitely interesting because, you know, will it be in the gold pass? Will you be able to buy it? Will it be in the trader? Raid medals? How are you going to get it? So that'd be really interesting to find out. And also, I do wonder, will this even make it to the main game? I mean, that is, I think that is a genuine question when I think on the Chinese servers, I imagine they are more strictly moderated as it is. So maybe they have more personnel on there. And we do know that it is a different version to the game now. You know, even minute things like skeleton spell color is changed. I know there have been some other visual differences. I just can't tell if this will actually make it to the main game. And if it does, I wouldn't be surprised if it actually looks quite different to what we're seeing now. Liam, do you have any good thoughts on this?
Yeah, I mean, so back when global chat was a thing, like it was great for some use cases and terrible for others. But yeah, as you said, like I think it's going to help with. I mean, assuming it does come to the real game, which is a big if. I don't like the idea of it being limited, of like needing magic items to be able to use it. But that's just, you know, me being a free to play player, I guess. But yeah, I'd say it's an interesting idea, and if it does come to the game, I'm sure we'll hear lots about it on the sub. But it'll be fun to see.
I did see a pretty good argument against it coming to the main game. Sam kind of mentioned it, but it's the fact that it's very difficult to moderate a chat, especially when there's so many languages, and there's never a set amount of languages because people could speak in any language they want. So every type of language and dialect finds their way into the chat systems in the game, and it becomes so much harder to moderate when it's global versus just in China. You know, that's so much easier for them to moderate. So maybe it's an exclusive feature for the China server specifically because it's for their country and it's a lot easier to moderate. Another complaint or a reason why global chat went down, Darren kind of mentioned this recently, was because if there was ever a threat or something that they had to take legal action about, they had to contact the country of origin where the player was, and that costed them a lot of money. Whereas this feature in the Chinese server, they don't have that issue at all because it's all in China. So that was the main reason that I saw for it potentially not coming to the global game. But a reason for it coming to the global game is we recently had that clan chat survey, which shows us that they're trying to think of ways to better the chat system in the game. And recently also, someone did ask Darian about returning global chat with limited messaging, referring to a system where you select a pre-made message. And they said that I believe you mentioned they were exploring options like that, but they didn't want it to be too limited. So this is definitely a solution that I think could work potentially, but who knows what the future holds for us. But it was pretty exciting waking up and seeing this headline. I didn't believe it at first, but it is true.
Yeah, it kind of reminded me of like the Among Us pre-select chats. I don't know if you guys are aware of that.
But yeah, that's a really good comparison, Leon. Yeah. If anyone remembers, in the Game Among Us, there was an open chat where anyone could say anything, but I believe they changed that to you can only select preset messages now.
Well,
is that correct, Liam?
I don't think it's changed entirely. I think it's a toggleable option when you create a game. So you can either have the limited kind of quick chat, or you can type your own messages. So that is actually an optional feature, I think. The only thing I was going to say to kind of add about this global thing was that I'm not sure how global it really is, because in terms of actually how widespread the chat is, because in that post, it seemed as though a message you send would appear like a notification at the top of your screen, like an announcement. And if it wasn't actual global chat, that would be beyond annoying.
Oh, yeah.
So I actually slightly wonder whether it's been misinterpreted. And maybe it's a clan announcements channel or something like that.
How it worked before is the global chat was basically a bunch of chat rooms. So as soon as you logged into the game, it put you in a random chat room with a bunch of people. And so I assume it's implemented in a similar way in the Chinese server, where there's a limited amount of people, maybe let's just say 50 people in the chat room, and it works that way. And that would make a lot more sense with the notification on top of the screen, you know.
But I still think, do people want notifications from random users every time they log on? I mean, maybe. And I'm sure it would be an option to turn off if it was a thing. I would actually probably put money on this never actually making it to the main game.
Yeah, but this is the closest we've got to anything in recent years. Like I mentioned before, it's been a pretty dead conversation. No one really wants to talk about it, and it's very draining, especially when you see all the comment sections on social medias just asking for global. But this is actually something of value that kind of reopened the discussion, which none of us saw coming.
Yeah, poor Darian has been like responding to global requests back since the beginning of time.
Oh my god! he should get some sort of bonus for every time he has to answer that same question. That would be very funny.
Exactly. Quick thing, Spence. Actually, Kite sent this thing where Darian said one idea we really like is a clan message board where instead of global chat, your clan's LCO can post wanted messages, and to avoid spam, each clan can only post once. A limited amount of time. That isn't confirmed, but it's one idea they're exploring. What do you think about that, Sam?
Wow.
Well, it looks like... I mean, I don't want to assume anything, but could that be what we're seeing right now on this supposed global chat? Because you get a notification, you get one message to send out, you know, potentially clan adverts. So, maybe. Maybe it's not really global chat at all.
I don't want to take the credit here, but that was one of my suggestions on the post when they asked for recruiting ideas. Was a
board.
Take the credit, Spencer. It's all thanks to you.
I need all the credit. No, I'm just kidding.
Spencer influencing Supercell policy decisions. If he did directly inspire them, I don't think they'd ever admit it, because then you might be entitled to compensation. To be fair,
that idea is way too generic. I feel like anyone could kind of come up with that, so it would hold no value in court. But let's get this conversation moved on to another topic. And this is a topic that a lot of people have been talking about recently on the subreddit. I've seen a lot of posts complaining about this issue, and that's about the monthly challenges in game are maybe too difficult for some people. What do you think about that, Sam?
I mean, I strongly believe that yes, they are. I mean, if you take the most recent challenge, so originally is this the Future Queen challenge that we just got?
Yes.
Originally, that challenge base had four monoliths in the center, right? They have since removed the monoliths and replaced them with arch towers, but in the meantime, it did spark a very good discussion on the subreddits, like you said, about whether these challenge bases are simply too hard. Because if we, I say, wind back about a year ago, we were getting challenge bases that were actually quite easy in a way. Some of them could spam, you could figure them out quite quickly, or they were actual just pro bases. Like when Clash Worlds was on, they were posting
qualifier
bases with qualifiers. Yep, they were posting qualifier bases with the attacks that the pros used to attack them, and you were expected to try have a stab yourself. And I really enjoyed that. Because at the time, I don't think I was a tower 14, or maybe I was, but I wasn't maxed. And there'd be many people who weren't near the top town halls that got to experience, what it was like in the upper echelons. But now, I think the challenges have got a little bit out of hand, because I think it's fair to say that most people now need YouTube videos to complete them. I mean, I haven't completed this most recent challenge because I looked at it and thought, okay, I could either sit here for a while, agonizingly spam my troops and trying to place them smartly in different places, but then, you know, what will happen is, oh, there'll be a huge air bomb farm that I didn't know, or there'll be a bunch of Teslas and I don't know how to deal with them, and then I'm going to have to end up watching a YouTube video. I think that really takes the fun out of a challenge if you have to always watch Judasoth, watch Itsu, watch Carbonfin, watch whoever to complete challenges. Now, I do enjoy creative challenges, right? So I think I enjoyed the challenge that we had last year for the Clash Fest, where you had to try move that sneaky goblin
that was awesome.
Through the maze and try completing it in a fun time. That is a fun creative challenge which is easy to grasp, but actually turned out to be quite hard to get a really good time, right? And there were some really impressive times from that. And I think that's an example of a great challenge because that was really accessible, but it still has some skill expression. Whereas now, you can't complete challenges without watching a YouTube video. And that sucks. Because, I mean, it's not fun. And if your entire attack is ruined because you didn't place the right troop at the right minute seconds from your YouTube video watching, I mean, I can't see how that makes challenges engaging anymore.
Yeah, I feel like there's four main issues, and you just talked about the challenging aspect of it. But the three other issues I see with these challenges, you kind of mentioned it, is the traps on the base. How are you supposed to plan out an attack if one trap can fail your entire attack, and then you have to attack again or keep attacking until you find all these traps and kind of plan your strategy around that? What I really liked about these challenges was there was no countdown timer, so I could stare at this base as long as I wanted to plan out my attack. But that doesn't really count for anything now if a simple trap can ruin your whole attack. So I do think that's another issue as well. And the two other issues is the rewards for the challenges. You know, in the beginning, I feel like we did get some better rewards. I'm not saying give us a book of everything, but a hero potion or these potions, resource potions, I just don't see the value of. That's the main reason why I don't do these challenges, is because the reward for them is more on the weaker side. And the last reason I really think these challenges are losing their value is because the amount that we're getting. I feel like every month we're getting minimum two. In the beginning, they were a fresh new thing, and I think we got one every other month. So it was a fresh new thing, and now I feel like we just have challenge after challenge. And so in that sense, they kind of lost their value over time. What do you think about the challenges, Liam?
Yeah, I mean, I definitely agree. Like, they've definitely become like harder, especially for like the average clasher, which I consider myself part of. But then again, like, they do, like, the reason I do them isn't like for the fun or to enjoy them. I do them just for the rewards, you know, like I gotta get every single potion I can get. But the one aspect I do like about certain set challenges is when they don't, as you said, Sam, they don't have a timer, because then I can just literally take all the time I want. But I feel like more and more they all have a timer to make it more like realistic, like a real attack. But yeah, I did prefer the earlier challenges than the later ones. And now, like, I can't do them without watching a YouTube tutorial. But, you know, I just watch it for 3 minutes, and sometimes it's harder, but whatever. That's part of the game, I think.
Yeah, I really liked how Sam mentioned the Clash Fest challenges, because those were so new. He mentioned the Sneaky Goblin one, but there was also one regarding how much housing space could you use? So the least amount of housing space wins. Yeah. And it was so cool waking up every morning and see how that leaderboard was. It got down to 2 housing space, 1 housing space, and eventually someone did it with only heroes, which they were the hero of the challenge. It was so cool to see that. So hopefully in the future they could bring sort of challenges like that where there's some sort of leaderboard, or we could compare it with who does it the fastest, or just housing space, you know. If there was a more competitive aspect to it with some sort of gem reward, maybe, I feel like a lot of people would be more inclined to complete these challenges.
Yeah, that competitive aspect was actually really awesome. I remember looking at the leaderboards over and over. It was pretty fun. But I do think that takes a lot of resources as well to do each time, so it might not be sustainable.
I mean, I don't think you necessarily need the competitiveness. I think the actually one of the best parts about those challenges was how accessible they were. Yet, like you said, you could, if you were good, if you knew what you were doing, you could be incredible at them. You know, everyone could complete that sneaky goblin maze in a few tries, maybe. Everyone could take down that base where you had to use the minimum amount of housing space because you got a shit ton of troops. Right, so everyone could do it. It was accessible. But if you knew what you were doing, you could be really good at it. And obviously the leaderboard helped. It incentivized people to try really push for those record breakers, and you got rewards out of it, which is awesome, right? But I think they need to be accessible, but you need to have some skill expression. And the problem is when you just get this unconventional base, you see a bunch of monoliths, you see a bunch of maxed heroes, and you know there's probably a huge Tesla farm somewhere, you know, there's probably a huge air bomb farm somewhere, and there's probably a CC with something ridiculous in it. I mean, and then you get this really random troop combination, maybe a few healers, a Valkyrie and some golems, and then a few heroes, and most people can't look at a base and go, right, I've got it. And maybe most people could get it after giving it a shot a lot and a lot of times. No one wants to do that. So you end up on YouTube, you watch a video, and it's just not very fun.
Seems like a skill issue to me, Sam.
Another topic that's been buzzing on the sub is, surprisingly, not really, Town Hall 16. People have seemed to want to move on away from Town Hall 15, which has only come about 10 months ago, which in my eyes, that's pretty new, considering we get a new Town Hall every 18 months. It's kind of blew up on the sub. The question was, what do you expect from Town Hall 16? So I really do want to hear your answers to those questions. I know I'm kind of putting you guys on the spot, but I want to start with Sam. What do you expect from Town Hall 16?
Okay, realistically, I expect them to do something about heroes, because I think they conveniently, maybe not conveniently, but they certainly skirted over the fact that we didn't get a new hero at Town Hall 15. Now, I know that getting a new hero at every old Town Hall was more of a coincidence than a rule, right? They weren't aiming for that, it's just what happened. But Town 13, it's the last time we got a new hero, the Royal Champion. And that was, what year did Town 13 come out? 2019, right? We're going to potentially make it to 2024 for Town 16. And if there is no new hero, that'll be over 5 years without a new hero. And I think that's going to be a problem. Because I definitely get the fact that if they add too many heroes, it becomes overwhelming. And truthfully, in my head, I would worry about a fifth hero. I mean, that's so much to manage, especially 5 abilities and, you know, 5, you know, crazily strong troops. That would be hard. But I think they do need to come up with some system to expand on heroes. I mean, maybe that's not a new hero. Maybe there's something else. I've heard people talk about some sort of skill tree for the existing heroes, where you could kind of upgrade them, or, you know, something like that. Or even just rotating out heroes so you have 5, you can only use 4, a bit like pets. But I think my main expectation for Town 16 is they sort out the hero problem, because they can't keep putting it off because eventually the community is going to want to hear.
That's really interesting you mentioned that. That has been a discussion too that's been ongoing. There's one side saying four heroes is enough, one side saying five heroes is too much, and I really do like that concept where you could only have four heroes at a time. And if you're listening right now, you're probably thinking there's no way they're going to bring another hero in game. But in a AMA that happened on Reddit, I remember someone asked the team about a sixth hero, and the response basically was, we don't know exactly what we want to do with heroes yet, but there will be more heroes in the home village eventually. So they do intend to bring more heroes to home village, but they're kind of figuring out exactly how they want to go about doing that. Which I do like the idea of the only four heroes allowed, but that does kind of cause the Book of Heroes magic item to kind of lose its value. I wouldn't see that as a sole reason for them not to bring a fifth hero. That would be kind of silly. But yeah.
Well, that would be a reason for them to bring a new hero, I think.
They did mention something about maybe bringing something heroic to the clan capital. I don't know if that would be like a hero as well, but that could be one avenue they're considering.
Yeah, that was a response to another question asking about heroes in clan capital, and they said something close to, you can expect something heroic to show up. So yeah, we could also expect heroes in clan capital, but I also want to know, what else do you expect from Town Hall 16, Sam? Is there anything else on your kind of wish list or expecting list?
I mean, there's nothing, I'm not expecting anything outlandish, even though I'm sure they will, Supercell always do well to surprise. I think I've never correctly predicted any of the new stuff they bring out each town hall, so I don't think I'll fare any better this time.
I remember a few town halls ago, I was thinking in my head, what else could they possibly bring to this game? I feel like it has everything.
And they always manage it.
The really cool idea of the monolith came and the recall spell. Those were two things I never would have thought of. So the game team is really good at coming up with new and innovative ideas for the game.
I mean, I think one thing they will run into again is the whole 100 building limit. So we'll see how they address that. So if they're going to squash any buildings again, maybe they combine the barracks, maybe they combine the army camps. I think that would be an easy one to do. I'm sure they'll.
I did see Stuart, the game lead, he did respond in another AMA about the hero thing, and he said he was asking basically, would it be better to make a hero hall where all four heroes can be upgraded in some sort of hero hall, and then you could kind of set like a little flag or an outpost where you want them to kind of roam around. I thought that was a pretty good idea to reduce buildings.
Wouldn't that add a lot on defense, like having all four heroes in the same spot to get through that, like a queen charge or something?
I said you would get like some sort of outpost icon, like a flag or something, where you would put on the map and they would kind of patrol that area.
Oh, right. Okay.
Essentially, it's like an altar, but it's not a building. It's more like a little flag or an outpost for them. Stationed at, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I think the altars, though, do provide some functionality at the moment, because am I right in saying, I think I'm right in saying, that if you destroy the altar, the hero can move anywhere in the map, chasing after your troops, whereas if the altar is there, they're kind of bound to the altar, so that could be.
I would kind of zap all altars and then drag them to the corner and take them out.
Or maybe that was just how it used to work. I don't really know. I can't remember. I could be making that up entirely. I'm sure someone will correct me. Equally, I wouldn't mind if they just said screw the 100 building limits, because I have still been a massive proponent that it's dumb and that they could just use decimal points for destruction percentage, but I think there is a limit to how much they can compress buildings or add stuff to other buildings, like for example the weaponized builder huts. That was clearly a response to, oh, we don't want to add more buildings, we need to do something, let's weaponize builder huts. And you know, we I do remember lots of jokes, obviously, about being, you know, Tower 1000 having weaponized walls and stuff. But, I mean, seriously, how long can Supercell go shrinking, compressing buildings, you know, upgrading non-defensive buildings to defensive buildings? There's going to be a limit, right?
Yep.
I mean, could they just do what they did with the builder base? Like, just have increase the percentage to 200% and then have, like, a second kind of map? Or would that be too much?
Oh, that would be too much, I think.
Definitely not a second map, but an increase in percent, maybe, just depending on each building is a single percent, and then the halfway mark is your star. But that would complicate it.
That would be weird.
I imagine
a 3-star being like an 112% attack. I think that would be pretty odd. And also then they'd have to retrospectively apply that to all town halls. So a town hall 2-3-star would be like a 10% attack. So I think that might cause some confusion.
Yeah, just to circle back, actually, when you were saying that hero altars were useless, actually, they're very useful for, like, clan games and stuff. Like, I wouldn't be able to finish them as quickly as I did without them.
Fair enough.
People really just go on Zap-on?
But that's what I do.
Yeah. I didn't know that. Maybe I should try that out.
You lose trophies, but if you don't care about trophies, like, you know, it's really helpful for clan games.
I see. Now, I do want to throw it over to Liam, ask you what... do you expect from Town Hall 16?
Yeah, I mean, I like the quote, trade your expectations for appreciation. So I don't really have any expectations for Town Hall 16.
Oh, wow.
But I suppose, like, I don't look forward to new walls if they do decide to add them. I'd say maybe, like, yeah, there's definitely, like, some spells, like the shrinking spells, stuff like that. I wonder if they'll make them permanent or if they're always going to be temporary. Could add a new mechanic, more strategy. But, yeah, like, I'm starting to think maybe, like, around Tunnel 15, 16, like, it might be the upper limit of what it is. But, yeah, maybe I'll be surprised. I think a new hero would be too much. Maybe a new troop again. Super troops as well. I'm expecting those. But yeah, there's nothing really major that I'm expecting. So, sorry.
Also, in that thread that was up asking about Town Hall 16, a lot of the comments were talking about two things, which I do want to address. One of them is people saying a seventh builder, which Supercell has stated that they are happy with the six builders that they have now, and they don't plan to bring a seventh builder anytime soon. And then another frequent comment was month-long upgrades. And Supercell has also said that they're kind of they're happy with the longest upgrade amount we have right now, which I believe is 20 days, and they don't want to go over that. How they've been doing is they've just been reducing times for each town hall. So the time it takes to start the game and then max out your base is still the same for every new addition to the game, which I believe is around 4 years, I want to say, free to play.
I'm coming up on 3 years to max. Finally, I think I'm about 10 days off now. Started my last cannon upgrade a few days ago. And that is with not heavy spending, but buying the gold pass for a few years now, I'd say. And maybe a few packs here and there. And that's taken me about 3 years of solid playing. So I think 4 is probably a reasonable benchmark for free-to-play players?
Yeah.
Sounds about right. Yeah, I mean, that is actually one thing I do look for, Spencer, back to your question, is the reduction of timers for all the other town halls.
Yeah, and another comment that was on there was talking about an increase in the size of the home village map or something like that. And that has been a repetitive comment on the sub that I've seen a lot. So I do also want to address that a little bit. what helps being a mod is I see all of the answers that Darian and Stuart, the game lead, give about the game. So they're all kind of in my brain. And they have commented about this. And they basically said that they're happy with the size of the map right now, specifically because of phone size. But phone size is actually increasing and has increased a substantial amount since 2012. So it does make sense to increase the map eventually. But it does come with a weird cost, actually, and it is sceneries. Sceneries are specifically built for the size of the map right now. So if you were to increase the size of the map, that would kind of enlarge the scenery aspects. So it kind of make your village look tiny compared to the sceneries. So I don't expect them to increase the size at all, really.
Well, I was just going to add that you say phone screen sizes have increased since 2012, but the map has got bigger since 2012. I am now struggling to remember which update it was or which town hall it was. I'd like to say 13, potentially, but the map definitely has increased since 2012. And also, for example, my phone, I think the screen is about 6.5 inches, and if I zoom all the way out, I just can't see the whole base. So, and that's on quite a big phone. I mean, my phone is quite big. So I think shorter people on tablets, if they are right, if you increase the size of the map, it just will not fit on phone screens anymore. And also, it would also have issues in terms of time. I think they'd have to increase the amount of time you have for an attack or do something about that if the map size was to increase as you physically got to get your troops around more area.
Yeah.
So, and do they need it? Do we need more space yet? I'd say no.
Yeah, it does not seem like if you make changes now, like it's going to be a long backlog for the programming, which I don't envy those who have to do that.
And before we move on to the next topic, I also do want to mention a lot of people I've also been talking about the town hall weapon on top of the town hall changing to maybe an eagle or a monolith, and I really do not see that happening at all. They've mentioned before they are happy with the Inferno because everyone expected a new weapon when we transitioned to Town Hall 15. We kept the Inferno at the top, which I'm fairly happy with, and they are too. What do you guys think about that?
Yeah, I don't think they need to change the Inferno particularly. I think the only time they obviously had technically changed it was from the Mega Tesla to the Giga Inferno, or Giga Tesla to Giga Inferno, sorry. But even then, that wasn't really a change. It was more an aesthetic change, as ultimately they kind of did the same thing. I mean, obviously we've all seen the ridiculous mock-ups of an eagle on top of the town hall and other silly things like that. But ultimately, I think everyone's now got used to that being the town hall defense, right? That's the Giga Inferno. And I think it'd be almost like upgrading the monolith and suddenly it turns into an entirely different defense that has a different functionality, right? I think everyone's very now used to the fact that that is what the town hall weapon is. It's the Inferno. It doesn't change. That's just what it is. And I'm all for them changing the appearance of it. For example, maybe a Town Hall 14, they could have made it shoot almost like poison beams, because that was the kind of jungle theme of the Town Hall.
Yeah.
Or maybe at Town Hall 15, it could have been like a laser, because it was a bit more future-y, kind of, in a way. But I'm happy with it keeping the same functionality, because I think that's just what the Town Hall defense is now.
About the eagle, like, I mean, we did get the Capital Hall, which is like the eagle artillery, so I don't think they'll be adding that as Town Hall 16, but yeah, I definitely don't want it to be a monolith, because, oh god, those things are awful.
It's funny you said that. I remember the reveal of Clan Capital, and when I saw that eagle on top of that Capital Hall, I was just amazed. I was like, oh my gosh, it's actually coming, the Giga Eagle Artillery. it was really cool to see that.
All the memes, they finally come true.
And that's definitely one of the strongest defenses in all of Clan Capital. It's really nice how it all worked out. Mm. And now I do want to transition to the last main topic of the show, and that revolves around hero pets. I do want to start off by talking about another topic that has been frequent on the sub, and that is hero pet skins. And as I've been doing throughout this entire show, I have found a statement that Darian made a few years back in an interview he did. And at that time, they didn't want to take that route because they feel like it would have been a more of a cash grab type situation rather than bringing genuine nice stuff to the game, which I agree. I personally do not want to see pets have skins because at that point, it won't even look like how they do in game. They're also unique as it is. So I'm happy with it how it is now. What do you guys think?
Okay, hear me out. Not necessarily pet skins that you purchase, right? I agree. I wouldn't want to go into the shop and see the new $20 Lassie skin and then think, oh my god, what have you done? And it's just, you know, slightly different texture. But what I would like, and they would never do this because it is a lot of effort for actually no more money, in theory, is that your pet will mirror the hero skin which you have equipped to the heroes it's placed on. So if you're just rocking the default skin, all look the same. But say I'm wearing the Champion Queen skin, any of the pets I equip to the Champion Queen will have that same aesthetic. Now, that's why I said it will never happen, because that's a ton of work. Yeah. We have 8 pets, and we may have more in the future, and we have a lot of skins for a lot of heroes. And while obviously, for example, if you wanted to do a special, you know, pet skin for the party queen, it'd be very easy just to use the same one for every other party set hero skin. But that's still a lot of work, and they're not going to get more money from that because you've already got skins, and there's a lot of pets, so they never do it. But I wish they did.
What do you think, Liam?
That's definitely an interesting idea. I really like it. I don't want to see more pet skins because not a lot of adventures. Although, like, if the skins provided some kind of ability, but then it might not no longer be free to play if you can only purchase them. But yeah, I'd say more skins is not a route to go. But now that Sam mentioned that idea, actually, it makes me imagine all kinds of scenarios with the different pets and stuff. So yeah, it could be pretty cool.
All right. One more thing I want to mention about pets is there was an awesome post on the subreddit kind of solving a problem that Lassie was having in-game, and that's Lassie is, I think we could all agree, the weakest hero pet. Because her ability is an ability that all pets have. All pets can jump over walls. So it was a little silly that in game it listed her ability of having the ability to jump over walls. So this Reddit user took it upon himself to come up with a solution, a new ability, which I thought was such a great idea. And he kind of showed it off as lore consistent too, which I thought was awesome. And essentially, the ability's name is Canine Sniffer, and it reads, in short, Lassie would have the ability to disable traps before they deal damage. And I think that's brilliant. So she would kind of jump ahead of the hero, sneak out traps, disable them, which I really like. What do you think about that, Liam?
Is that a permanent ability? Like, so that means basically all traps that you would encounter with Lassie would just not be disabled, or is it like a time?
Yeah, so like, or just a certain amount? There were a lot of questions about that, like what would be her radius and how she would seek it, which it could easily be way overpowered, but there's so many limitations they could put on it to balance it out that I do think it could work, you know?
Yeah, it does sound fun, actually. My main concern would be, like, for the defender, like, if you're a base builder and you have, like, really well-placed traps and you, like, plan hours and hours doing that, and then all of it comes undone with, like, one well-placed Lassie, then it might feel kind of, you might feel bad about that. Other than that, it's definitely a great idea. Like, I like it a lot. What do you think, Spam? Sam?
I actually like it. I think that it's probably not as overpowered as maybe some people are thinking. Because, for example, you couldn't bring it on a queen charge because it wouldn't find any seeking air mines because that's an air trap, and obviously the queen is a ground hero. You couldn't really ever use it for a blimp because a blimp is not a hero, and that's often what people have traps engaged for. You couldn't use it against giant bombs, killing super archers and super wizards, because you've got no hero there. So I think people are possibly overestimating how broken it could be when you consider the scenarios in which traps are really there to bait. But then it adds a nice ability for when it's there. I think obviously there would need to be questions about, for example, could the Lassie fail? Could the Lassie not deactivate every single trap? For example, if there's like 5 air bombs that come at you, will she only be able to get to 1, possibly? Or if the she doesn't, can she fail to get to a bomb fast enough and it still goes off? I think there's got to be some reason why she can't just disable every single trap. But I think on the whole, it's a good idea to revitalize a pet which has been left useless since the Diggie came into the game. I think it was a fairly general consensus it possibly was the worst pets anyway, but now when it's literally got a better competitor, why would anyone use it? And like you said, the fact that it can jump over walls is a ridiculous ability because everyone would jump over
walls. You know, it brings up a really good conversation about traps in the game, because I remember as a small town hall, I would be afraid of bombs and spring traps. But now, I don't give a single thought to them when I'm building a base or when I'm attacking, because I don't think they would have any sort of large impact on my attack. And I'm specifically talking about bombs and spring traps.
Are you specifically talking about small bombs here?
Small bombs.
Or are you including giant bombs? Right, so small bombs, my argument would be things like blizzards. Small bombs can be very effective there for killing a bunch of super wizards.
But once you group them up, like the small bombs?
Oh, right. Yeah, okay. Yeah. I mean, obviously, back in the day, like you said, they were good for placing on the outside of bases to try to stop wall breakers. But obviously, with the advent of super wall breakers, that's become quite irrelevant. Spring traps, I think, still have their place, especially with Hog Riders coming more back into the meta. I mean, I do remember, maybe not as recently, but sometimes back in the day, you'd see Hog Rider attacks. And literally, they'd get put in a compartment and they'd go sky high. So while I think you're right, they're definitely less relevant as they may have been a few town halls ago, at least for me and you. I think they still have their place in the game. And ultimately, a trap doesn't need to be amazing for it to still have a place in the game, essentially.
All right. Well, we are coming to the end of the episode. Anything else, last things you guys want to talk about before I begin to wrap it up?
Well, I was going to say, should we ask some questions from anyone in the chat, if they've got any? Can ask them.
So, yeah, I'm going to talk about the upcoming event real quick, and then I do want, as I talk about that, let's get some questions going in the chat. And so, tomorrow, we are doing our monthly event, the 11th Clash of Archery Challenge event. For anyone, Town Hall 11 through Town Hall 14, you can participate. Just join the event server, which I'll link, and all you gotta do is attack a base, and you'll win some prizes if you do good enough, okay? Alright, let's see if we have any questions.
I haven't seen any questions other than will we be having live audience members, but I don't think that's gonna happen today.
Well, the one time Rick did that on a Reddit Horse Clash, it went terribly. So,
Was it actually terrible, or was it just Rick moaning on for hours?
Well, Rick was quite drunk, so...
that may have affected it.
Yeah, let's not.
But maybe. I was always in theory open to it, but it's never felt like the right time. So we'll see.
Yeah, I wouldn't want to start that today.
Yeah, no, fair enough.
Yeah,
I
think it would be a catastrophe.
Let's go through and give our last shout outs. Sam, do you have any shout outs?
I'd like to give a shout out not to Quilt, who's in the chat right now, because he's rubbish. I would like to give a shout out though to Paul, my clan leader, who's also listening, for being a great model of what a good clanmate looks like, unlike Quilt, who is terrible. Thank you.
Liam, any shout-outs?
So I'd like to shout out, first of all, the Pineapple and Thorn podcast. They recently had me on as a live audience member, so that was very fun, and then Clash Tours as well. They do great podcasts over there. And then as well, I'd like to, I mean, maybe I'm stealing your shout out, but shout out the 12 audience members we have live here. Thank you so much for joining.
Now, Liam, I do have to ask you a question, and you better give the correct answer. And that question is, what is the best Clash of Clans podcast?
Reddit Talk Slash, obviously.
And my shout out goes to a single audience member, Cruiser, who is our biggest fan. He was the first one in the audience this evening, and it is 2 a.m. for him, so he is highly dedicated to listening to our show, which I appreciate that
very
so
much.
So thank you so much for the support, Cruiser. He's also an event legend. He has the second most amount of wins in our event server, which is pretty awesome. So yeah, thank you to Cruiser. Thank you for everyone to everyone for listening today. It's been a pleasure. This has been a shorter episode, but I think it was a great episode.
Yeah. Actually, I would like to give a final shout out to Rick's wife for taking him away on a cruise. So finally, we don't have to listen to him
for one bloody week. Yes. You know, I don't want to give anything away, but maybe I did have something to do with planning his disappearance or something like that. But thanks, everyone, for listening. We will hopefully push out another episode in 2 weeks from now, and I think that puts us around the end of the month or the beginning of September. So we'll see you guys then. Thanks again.
Yeah, thank you, everyone, for listening, and see you guys in 2 weeks. Goodbye.